All of this happened 25 years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Danny and I were trying to ignore the fact that the streetlights were coming on. School may have started already, but we were still holding on to summer, playing till the sun went down, which seemed like it was happening earlier and earlier every night. We knew what time our mothers wanted us inside, but we kept trying to push it longer and longer, pushing it till one of our moms heard the other one shouting for us and we knew we had to go in. Maybe we knew that was going to happen any second as we sat out there on the steps of the old brownstone because Danny decided to start something he thought he couldn't finish.
Hey, you ever hear about the ghost of the old lady that lives over there?
Over where?
The old tenement.
The condemned one?
Yeah. Old Mrs. Carmichael. They say she lived on the top floor for 99 years.
You're so full of it. She couldn't have lived there for 99 years.
Swear to God, she got so old she didn't have any friends anymore. And she was miserable and mean and used to busybody and snitch on all the people that live there. She'd never leave the building, but they said she would wait in the lobby for the people to come in, then she'd follow them up the floor, walking behind them, watching to see if they paid her any mind or did anything wrong.
Danny, you are so making this up.
I'm not. The old lady was weird and kind of like crazy, so people always avoided her. They said that finally one day, she decided to kill herself.
How?
She threw herself down the stairs.
Ugh.
But before she did, she wrote her last words on the wall outside of her apartment door.
Like an epitaph?
What's an epitaph?
You know, grave writing. Like what they put on your gravestone.
Oh. This was more like a, what do you call it? Suicide note. They said that what she wrote wasn't just what she wanted written on her gravestone. It was a warning to all other people living in the building. Then her ghost made it so bad to live there that everybody moved out, and the owner let it get all messed up inside.
That's stupid.
You're stupid.
Smarter than you.
Oh yeah? Well, I didn't show up at school wearing my underwear on the outside of my pants.
Steve Reeves told me it was inside out day.
And you were stupid enough to believe him.
Well, at least I know what an epitaph is, and I'm smart enough to know that there's no such thing as ghosts. The whole thing about the ghostly is just a made-up story, a stupid one.
It's not made up, I swear. They say if you walk up the stairs to the top floor, she'll follow right behind you. And the only way to get her to go away is to read the words she wrote out loud all the way to the end.
Right.
Oh, well, if you're so sure it's just made up, why don't you go do it?
Come on, that crappy board-up building to read some stupid thing that probably isn't even there.
It is there. You should go up there, see for yourself.
Right.
You should. But you gotta make sure you read the whole thing out loud, or else she's always gonna be standing right behind you, breathing down your neck. Forever and ever. You won't even be able to make her go away.
I could tell that Danny was about to turn this into a dare, something he would make a matter of pride. And I wouldn't be able to back down, because if I didn't do it, he'd tell everyone in the neighborhood I was chicken. And I wasn't gonna have any of that. I could care less about Danny's silly ghost story, but I didn't want to go creeping around an old abandoned building. I mean, as a kid, I loved to explore old abandoned places, but this was right across the street. If I got caught, my mother would find out, and I can imagine how mad she would be. I always did my best to stay out of trouble. Worse still, my mother knew that Danny's parents weren't exactly the most responsible people, and I had to convince her on several occasions that Danny wasn't the bad influence she thought he was. If I got busted in that old building, she'd know that Danny had made it happen somehow. She'd never let me hang out with him again. And I didn't want that. So I was relieved when the window to Danny's apartment opened and Danny's mother called out.
Danny, time to come in now. Dinner's ready.
Okay, Mom. Gotta go. I'll call you later.
Bye.
I'll get it, Mom!
Hello?
Hey, tell your mom you're sleeping over at my house.
Why?
Just come and stay over. When my mom falls asleep, we'll sneak out and go over to the old tenement.
But we'll get into trouble.
No, we won't. Nobody will even know. Wait a minute. You're not chicken, are you?
Well, there it was. The magic word. What defense did I really have at that point? I stayed over at Danny's all the time, so my mother gave me the usual concerned huff, but let me go anyway. I grabbed my sleeping bag, flashlight, and toothbrush, and hustled off to Danny's. Later that night, in Danny's room, with his mother out of earshot, Danny told me the plan.
I always sleep with the bedroom door open, and if we're really quiet, we'll be able to hear when she starts to snore. That means she's out for the night, never wakes up. That's when we'll tiptoe out the door, go across the street.
I don't know about this, Danny. What if somebody sees us out on the street? What if we get into trouble? There's not gonna be anything up there anyway, so why are we—
No, this is gonna be great. You'll see that she really did write something up there, just like I said. Just don't forget, once we find it, we have to read the whole thing out loud, or else the ghost will follow us forever. Those are the rules, got it?
Yeah, got it.
You'll see when we get back, she'll be snoring away just like she is now. She'll never even know we were gone.
We made our way across the street, sneaking and hiding behind cars and in the shadows as much as we could. We weren't supposed to be out so late, but we'd made it that far. We couldn't get caught now. We looked around to make sure no one was watching, and then we dashed up the steps of the old condemned tenement building.
There's a loose board here on this window. See?
Have you been in here before?
No, but Burnout Barry showed me how to get in.
Burnout Barry knows about this?
Yeah, he's the one who told me the story. I'll climb through first, just so you don't think I'm trying to pull something on you.
You better not be.
We climbed through a tight little space to get inside, instantly getting ourselves covered in thick black dirt. I wasn't sure how Danny thought we were going to explain that one, but that was the least of our worries right now. I climbed through, stood up, and turned on my flashlight.
Wow.
Look at this place, huh?
Yeah.
It's almost like the ghost of the building you live in.
Danny was right. The lobby looked just like the first place you see when you stepped into the building I lived in back then with my mom. At first, it made me feel a little safer, but then I started to get really bothered by it. Like some terrible thing had happened in a flash in the place where I lived, and this is all that was left. Everything was cold and dusty and smelled like mold.
Kind of creepy in here, huh?
Yeah.
What's that?
What?
Hello? Did you hear anything?
No. You're just trying to scare me.
I'm not. I thought I really saw something, but there's nothing.
Maybe we should go back.
We've got this far. We can't turn back now. You and me are gonna go up those stairs and read what Mrs. Carmichael wrote on her door. Stop being such a scaredy little wuss and let's go!
We started up the stairs. The boards sounded so weak that we thought they might break at any second.
What floor are we going to? Top floor, the sixth.
These stairs are so loud.
Yeah, well, at least we'll know if someone else is coming up.
Yeah.
We were both exhausted by the time we got to the top. We shined our flashlights around at the doors running along the sixth floor hallway.
Which door is—
Look!
Oh my god. It's true!
Not far from the top of the stairs, Danny was shining his flashlight on one of the apartment doors. Wooden, with the same paint and design as all the others, except this one had jagged writing scratched into it, going from left to right, from top to bottom. It was just like he had described.
What did I tell you?
Well, now what do we do?
We have to read it out loud.
Both of us?
Yeah, or else the ghost of the old Lady Carmichael will be breathing down our necks forever and ever.
Well, I don't want to be in here any longer than I have to, so I'll read it first.
God, you're so dumb. We'll read it out loud together. You think I want to stay up here any longer than you do?
You're scared too?
Of course I'm scared, but we've got to read all the words before we can leave.
She wrote so much.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
All of you paid me so little mind while I was alive. Perhaps in death, you will find that you won't forget me, a little old lady who feared for your...
feared for your souls. I only wanted to keep my eye on all of you, but...
Did you hear that?
Yeah, let's keep going.
Every one of you... rushed away or ignored me or slammed your doors in my face.
It's someone on the stairs.
We have to keep reading.
But someone's coming!
I know what sins you were...
Wait, okay. I know what sins you were...
committing.
Committing!
Right in the same building as me, under the same roof, and all I wanted to do was save you from the fires of hell.
Oh my god.
But now, no one can save you.
And now that your
morbid curiosity,
God, I'm sorry, I'm afraid,
has led you to stand here outside a door you could never bother to
knock on,
reading the final words of a sad old lady who you never had the decency
to pay attention to when she was alive.
I challenge you to read all of these words, to absorb and digest
my final thoughts
right here, or else face the wrath of my curse.
Who is that? Who's there?
Tommy, keep reading!
Let it be written here.
Whosoever
shall stand and read
these words aloud
from beginning to end
will be free to go about their lives, hopefully retaining
some of the
cautionary
thoughts
that they had while acknowledging.
I'm so sorry.
Acknowledging
my curse
and paying me the respect so few did
when I was alive.
She's coming up behind us.
Turn around. Just keep reading.
But to those who see these words
and refuse to stop
and read them aloud. Know this and do not doubt. She's right behind me. She's breathing down my neck. Please, Danny, I don't want to do this anymore.
We have to finish. It's the only thing that will...
I can feel her breath. It's cold. Please let us go. We didn't mean to disturb you, please. We only wanted to...
Tommy, we have to finish. It's the only way. We have to keep reading.
I will follow you for the rest of your days to the ends of the earth, always right behind you, breathing down your neck.
No! No, I can't! Get away from me!
Tommy, no, we have to finish!
Finish? Okay. I will be watching everything you do, seeing every sin, knowing everything, and giving you a small taste of hell. You will never be rid of me. You will only have to look over your shoulder to know that I'm there. Cecilia Carmichael, done!
And with that, I ran down those 6 flights of stairs with a speed I had never known before, leaving Danny behind. As I scrambled from landing to landing, I could still hear him up there, sounding out her damn words.
I will be watching everything you do, seeing every sin, knowing every...
Somehow I made it down those 6 flights of stairs without tripping and killing myself. I found the window we had crawled through and wriggled my way out. I got down to the street and I didn't stop. I ran and ran. It felt like my heart was going to explode inside my chest. My side was hurting so bad it felt like someone had stabbed me and was just running beside me, twisting the knife. I didn't want to go to Danny's house. I needed to feel safe. I needed my own house, my own bed. I cried myself to sleep that night, having no idea whether Danny was alive or dead. I didn't even know if he had gotten out of the building. The next morning, at the schoolyard.
Danny! You're all right!
Yeah. Are you okay? What happened?
I finished reading the words after you ran away.
I got too scared. You were going too slow. I mean, I had to get away.
I know.
So you finished reading all the words?
I had trouble with this one word, misdeed.
Misdeed?
Yeah. Was that in there?
I don't remember. I've never read anything faster my entire life. So you finished it and then what?
And then she was gone.
Just gone?
Yeah, like that. I couldn't feel her, I couldn't hear her. I stood there for a long time, and then I turned around and she had disappeared.
Just like that?
Yeah. From the second I finished reading the words.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I'm sorry I ran. It's okay. How about you?
Well, how about me what?
Did you get in trouble?
No, my mom just assumed I got scared and didn't want to stay at your house.
Well, that's what happened, right?
Yeah. I still can't believe we went up there.
Nope, time to line up.
Oh, okay.
Danny and I kind of drifted apart not long after that, which was really sad. I mean, we were inseparable before...
Before you went into that building?
Yeah.
Why do you think that is, Tommy?
I don't know, Dr. Williamson. Why do people usually drift apart from one another?
No, you were both 11 years old. You lived on the same block, went to the same school. From what you told me, you were attached at the hip.
Yes. Yes, we were.
So what changed after that night?
Well, I left him there.
You were a scared little kid. It's only natural that you'd react with fear. How could he blame you for abandoning him in that moment?
No, Doc, you're not getting it. You see, I left him there, and he read all the words, and he made it out okay.
But you read all the words, too. You ran
away. Misdeed.
What?
Misdeed. I raced through the words so fast, when Danny brought up the word misdeed, I honestly couldn't remember it being in there.
It doesn't matter, Tommy. You got out of there. And whatever it was you thought was coming to get you was just your imagination.
My imagination?
Yes. You have to know that whatever you saw or think you experienced up there that night, whatever it was you felt standing behind you, it wasn't real. The two of you just let your imaginations get the better of you.
If that's true, Doc, then why won't you leave me alone? It's been 25 years. When will she stop breathing down my neck?
The Creaky Stairs, written and directed by Jared Rivett. Produced by Casey Wolf, Jared Rivett, Brannon Coluccio, and Nicholas Thurkettle. Voice performances: Tracy Clifton as Tommy, Christy Chavez as Danny, Jared Rivett as adult Tommy, Jennifer Finocchio as Danny's mom, Seamus O'Toole as Dr. Williamson. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Sound effects and editing by Craig Good. Spot art for this episode was created by Simeon Wilkins. The Creaky Stairs is a production of Earbud Theater. We'd like to remind you that no matter what Steve Reeves says, tomorrow is not Inside Out Day. Keep your underwear where it belongs.